This is the Austin Road Show podcast. The Roads Rewind.
Two members of the Augusta Richmond County Coliseum Authority here are with us, Brad Ushry and Cedric Johnson. Brad, you're the current chairman, right?
No, Cedric's chairman.
Cedric, I'm sorry. You guys trade back and forth, didn't you?
Well, I'm the chairman of the new arena committee. He's the chairman of the authority. I'm the vice chairman.
Okay. A couple of years ago, were you the chairman?
No,
I thought
Cedric's
y'all transferred.
The whole time.
I apologize. Shame on me. Cedric Johnson is here, of course. And I always, always, always thank the world for these two guys' mamas, who I both loved and adored in very different worlds. I was going to say, how long has God knows, has Carolyn been gone?
11 years, 12 years.
Right into the microphone.
12 years.
12 years. God bless her. And, of course, Cedric's mom was H.B. Johnson, who we lovingly refer to as Honey Bear at Westside High School, one of the greatest English teachers over there. And, unfortunately, she's been gone for a while, too.
About 9 years.
Unbelievable. Wow. So the good news is these two wonderful ladies have great sons that have continued to give back to the community. And I didn't realize that both you guys were members of the Augusta Exchange Club. I was reminded of that during the break. And I got a note back from Joe Taylor. So I want to do that before we get into our Coliseum Authority conversation real quick and read this note to you. Austin, second weekend was just like the first, midway full, record attendance, record revenue. The weather was 10 days of fair weather, cool and dry, zero crowd incidents, family-oriented crowd, never seen so many strollers. It was big fun. Many thanks to all in the CSRA for making it possible for the Exchange Club to support our local charities. How about that?
Amen.
So, again, the Augusta Exchange Club, long time. And do we know the number off the top of our head, how many fairs this was?
It's got to be over 80. I'm not sure.
80-something. Sure. And again, one of the greatest traditions. And you guys go back to going to the fair like I did when you were a little kid.
Absolutely.
You remember the days of the girly shows they would have it?
I didn't notice that.
Oh, come on.
I did. Also.
Yeah, I was going to say, I bet you Horace knew. I bet Horace was Mr. Ushry, as most of you people know, the fat man himself. So, and he's also your brother, right? Yeah. Don't you have a brother named Horace, right?
Yes.
I think he's older than you.
Yes.
He remembered him. I can guarantee he did. Yeah. And me and Cedric certainly remember. So, Brad, you and Cedric have done a ton of work on this new Coliseum Authority initiative, or this plan, rather, to expand James Brown Arena after much community discussion, hand-wringing, planning back and forth. The decision was made to stick with the current site, which I applaud very much. Now we're up against the referendum, or up against the referendum countdown, which will be the first Tuesday in November. Is that right? Or second?
Next Tuesday, a week from tomorrow.
And the Augusta voters will be voting on this. And I've had to remind folks, believe it or not, in McDuffie County, I even got a note from up north Augusta today. This is an Augusta City election. Only the Augusta residents are voting in it. Turnout, from what I've heard in the advance voting, has been incredibly light. Which means if you're listening out there and you intend to vote on this, your vote counts way more than you may think that it does. So get out and vote on this. If you support it, I applaud you. If you don't support it, these two gentlemen are here to tell you why you should. And just out of curiosity, what's your feedback been in the community? Cedric, we'll start with you first.
Well, Austin, thank you very much for giving us the opportunity to talk about
it. Sure, absolutely.
We've made the rounds to most of the civic clubs, the Convention and Visitors Bureau, the Chamber. And we've gotten a great response from those organizations in knowing the need for a new arena in Augusta.
Well, I mean, I just second that. I mean, most of the folks we've gone to, all the organizations we've presented to, have been very positive. We've got some negative information, but hopefully we responded well to the negative responses and satisfied their curiosity on that, too.
Well, there are a lot of people that say, why now? Why do we have to undergo this expense? We're at the edge of the COVID shutdowns and the economic downturn that went with it. And I guess the bottom line is that the arena that we have right now has served its purpose. It's long outlasted most civic arenas that were built at the same time. I look back on the stadium life and think about Turner Field. It came and went from 96 to a couple of years ago. And the Civic Center was 20 years older than Turner Field. So it's past time.
Well, you know, the arena has outlived this useful life probably 10 years. And we've band-aided it and kept it together. But, you know, artists expect more from an arena now. patrons expect more. They expect an experience, not to just go and sit in a seat and see a show. And that's what this arena will bring. It'll bring a whole new experience. And also, we have to appeal to the artists that are coming. And we also have what we think. We have a product that we're sending to the voters that we're very proud of.
You got a video that you got at the Coliseum Authority website that shows the artist rendering or the imagination of what you hope this new arena will be. And maybe some people are missing out on this. Can you explain in real terms who we're not getting now, artist-wise, that we will be getting once this thing is done, if it's accomplished?
Yeah. Austin, I want to back up to the question, first question you asked, if you don't mind.
Sure.
And you know, the reason for the new arena is the fact that, again, we spent tons of money trying to keep the old one together. The other thing, it's just not now. Brad and I started planning this about 7 years ago. The first 6 months that we had been there with the repairs and stuff being done, we looked at each other and said, hey, man, we need to try to see how we can get a new arena in Augusta. So
it's like sinking money into an old car.
It is. I mean, there's no return on it. And so for those people who think it just popped up, it hadn't. We've been working on this for strongly the last 5 years in trying to see how we can make things happen and how we could get it done. So it's just not happened within the last couple of years. It just not happened, you know, during COVID. But one of the things that did happen, you know, we had people say, oh, no, you can't close the arena. You can't. You just can't. We can't operate without the arena. Well, COVID showed us we could. You know,
yeah,
we could close it down and right, life would stop in Augusta, Georgia. So, you know, perfect storm happened, I guess, while we were in that process. So, you know, that's one of the reasons, too. But again, we need a new arena. We can't continue to pull money in it. And, Brad, I'll let you answer Austin's question now.
Well, you know, the thing about it is it's Cedric and I are smart enough to know that we could not put this together. So we got a world-class team that we hired, the authority hired. H.J. Russell is representing us as an owner. Perkins and Will is architect. PCL is our cost consultant. And of course, our management team, Spectra, who's lended their resources to help us get to this point. And I can't remember the question that was asked.
Well, I had a couple of them. The first one is, what acts won't come here versus will come here if we could wave a magic wand and say, and it's the new arena is 12,000 seats?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, it's right. It's
10,000.
It's right at 11,000 center stage, 10,000, I think, 500 in stage.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Is that big enough to accommodate what we need?
Well, and not only the size, yes, the seating capacity. We had two feasibility studies done. They said for a city this size, a market this size, that's your sweet spot, 10,000.
Okay. All right.
And so as far as bringing in shows, it's not just a seating capacity, but it's your rigging capacity. And just in the last 3 to 5 years, shows we've lost, I can't speak to what we may bring. That's probably a Spectra management question. We lost Dave Matthews, and we lost Carrie Underwood just before COVID because of our rigging capacity. The weight of the shows, the old JBA just can't handle it.
When the new Columbia County Performing Arts Center was built, I was amazed at the technical aspects of that construction and what it can accommodate versus what the Bell Auditorium can accommodate, which we've been living with as our main, you know, Broadway performance touring company venue for years and years and years. And it's exponentially something like seven times the backstage space that Bell Auditorium has. I'm just trying to make people understand how things have changed. And the Columbia County Performing Arts Center was built to those specs. And I was told that the rigging capacity of that little bitty 2,500 seat facility is more than the Civic Center is. They can bring more trucks into the Columbia County Performing Arts Center than they can the current James Brown Arena, because that's how small the infrastructure was built back in the day.
Right.
So
you're absolutely correct. And that's why, again, as Brad said, we were blessed enough to go out and get the top-notch architects who do this for a living every day. They design arenas and gathering places. So what you will see when you look at it, you will see a loading dock. As we connect the Bell Auditorium and the JBA, all that space is going to be space for loading, backroom stuff, and kitchens. The Bell Auditorium does not have a kitchen, so they've had to share with what the
everything they serve in the Bell Auditorium they have to bring over from the
city. You have to wheel it over, yeah. Right. So that's going to be right in the middle, so it'll be shared box office. So what we tried to do is consolidate those things and make it one complex with two entertainment sites.
By the way, need to mention this too, you save a tremendous amount of money building where you are because you don't have to acquire land and condemn property, which if you did it anywhere else, God bless whoever you take the property from or, you know, try and buy it from, God knows what you'd be spending on it.
Well, and another thing people need to know is part of this $235 million, $9 million of this is going into renovating the Bell Auditorium and bumping it out, adding concessions, and making it
ADA compliant.
ADA compliant, and also adding restrooms. Also, the connector between the two that makes it one complex.
Yeah,
that's $14 million also as part of this, and we'll have a rooftop ballroom and terrace. Well, included in that connector.
One organization that I know would have loved to have had that connecting crossway was the Futurity all those years. They used both buildings, and they would have really loved to have had that. I've heard it discussed many times over the years. Got Brad Ushery and Cedric Johnson from the Coliseum Authority here with us. And one thing that we wanted to mention, we were talking about the assessed value a little while ago versus market value. Assessed value is much lower. Your property taxes in Richmond County, and actually for everyone in the state of Georgia. So don't be necessarily concerned about the huge increase that we're seeing in the market value, because that's not reflected in the assessed value. There is some increase. That's natural. That's just what time does. But this market spike that we're seeing, there's no major indication that, you know, the next year or two we're going to see property tax assessments go up 30%, 40%, 50% the way that we're seeing prices go up. That's just not the way that it works, because generally speaking, when you have surges like this, you also have, you know, there's an ebb and flow to it, and it'll be back down shortly. Just ask anybody the difference between their market value in 2007 versus 2011. I took a humongous bath on that one. We got John standing by. John, we'll get to you in just a second. But before we do that, real quick, I wanted to ask you about this. We've had a lot of folks asking about the Bell Auditorium, and is the Bell Auditorium and the Civic Center going to be shut down at the same time? Are we going to be able to use one without the other? How is that going to work, logistically speaking?
The JBA will go dark in February, and it will be out of commission until the fall of 24.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a construction plan, logistics plan, to try to keep the Bell Auditorium open as long as we can. It will be dark for a period of time, but not nearly as long as the JBA.
And the good news is, for a lot of shows, particularly ones that would fit in the Bell Auditorium, we do have alternative venues, and some in downtown Augusta and some out here in Columbia County, even some over in South Carolina that could accommodate certain crowds. So it's not like we're going to go completely without for a while.
Well, the construction team knows how important the Bell Auditorium is to this community. And they're going to do what they can to get that construction work done in a short amount of time and get it right back open.
You've been downtown your entire life, business-wise, Brad, and you've seen a lot of changes. There were some people that were speculating not too long ago that the upswing in interest that we had seen in downtown Augusta was a fad that was going to go out of fashion. That's not true, is it?
Absolutely not. And we hope with this investment by the city that we will also see a southerly growth from Broad Street towards the arena down 7th and 8th Street, which in part of this investment, the money here that we're getting is it will go towards infrastructure on 7th and 8th Street as well.
What year was it that you based your Fat Man's operation out of Enterprise Mill? How many years ago?
It's been 12 years, 13 years.
And is it safe to say that you have seen growth in all of those 12 years?
Absolutely.
And again, this is a situation where people have been complaining that the resurgence in interest in downtown Augusta was something that was faddish and or, you know, a one-time situation. That's just not the case. The property values down there continue to rise, and the activity level in downtown Augusta is just amazing.
There's no question. With AU and the cyber community down there, the potential is just whatever you want it to be.
Cedric, I don't want to drag your private business into this too much, but you're a banker by
Well, I used to be.
Profession.
I used to be. I'm actually employed at AU.
Oh, well, what I mean is experience-wise, profession-wise, that's what I meant to say. You have been a banker.
Yes.
And isn't that on your email? I think it is.
It is. That is my email.
I was going to say. But as a banker, you're somebody that knows the industry. You have seen, again, nothing but tremendous growth in the investment in the downtown area. And, again, it's something that continues exponentially to grow. Now connected with AU, you know what's going on with AU down there.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Moved probably about 3 or 4 years ago for Beacon's Place, which is right across the railroad track from the medical school and the dental school.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I heard recently where the people who started that have actually sold that. The city's going to get their money back from it. And I think they're at 89 or 90% occupancy. And if you look over, again, not too far down the street, there's another big apartment complex going on. And if you go to Gordon Highway and Walton Way, there's another apartment complex.
Saw that when we were going down to the fair, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for those folks who are thinking that downtown is dead, they're sadly mistaken because it's growing.
And these guys are a little bit older than I am, but I'm going to put them on the spot here. Do you remember your first concert at the Civic Center?
I do not, but I played in the first basketball game there when I played at Augusta College.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So they had it, I guess, in 77 that would have been.
Absolutely. No, 78.
Cedric, how about you? You remember your first concert there?
I can't. I really can't.
I saw the Beach Boys were my first concert there.
Okay.
And what was amazing about that, I never thought I'd be seeing the Beach Boys in Augusta, number one. But also, you know, literally packed to the rafters. And you guys remember, because, again, you're a little bit older than I am, back in those days, the top names in entertainment came to this town. Everybody except Elvis. I mean, matter of fact, Elvis came to Bell Auditorium back in the day. But I can't imagine this today's young people and today's Augusta population being able to experience that, because we haven't had it. We haven't had it in almost two generations. But back in that period of time, back in 77, from 77 to about 83, 84, the top names in show business came through here almost without exception.
Well, I can say with confidence, when we finish building this building, artists will be lined up to get in this building. That's how iconic this building is.
Okay. We're going to take some calls. John, you've been on hold the longest. You're first up. How are you, sir?
Yes, sir. I'm curious how this is going to benefit the most of Augusta, what age group this is targeted at, and how much taxes is going to go into this, how much money, because I'm kind of pessimistic about this as to how many people are going to get the benefit of this. And how many people in Augusta are going to end up paying for it when they have no benefit whatsoever?
John, I tell you, you don't go
and
see concerts.
I'll wait for my answer off air.
Okay, all right. I guess John doesn't go to concerts. Guys, you heard the question.
I would like to say, with the economic impact this building is going to have, $1.5 billion in additional spending over the next 30 years, I hope everybody in Augusta and in this region benefits from having a new arena.
$1.5 billion in economic impact. That's concerts, conventions, the use of the building.
Yes, and 700 construction jobs, new construction jobs. I'm trying to think of some of the others. $36 million in additional taxes. So I'd like to think that everybody in Augusta will benefit in some way from the new arena.
What's the total price tag that we're looking at?
It's
$235
million. Right.
And, again, for $1.5 billion over 30 years, that's a pretty – if you were buying stock and it returned your investment that much, you'd be pretty impressed with it. You'd be pretty happy with it. I guess John's not a concert goer, so he doesn't think that it's going to benefit him any. How would this benefit the average citizen?
Well, again, I don't know John, but, I mean, does he have grandkids? Is somebody going to be in the cotillion? Does he have a kid that's going to graduate from high school? Would he like to go to a green space downtown after he had lunch downtown one day, we're going to have at least a 2-acre green space in front of the arena that can be used 24/7, 365. That'll be like a park downtown.
Yeah, keep in mind, before COVID hit, every high school graduation for Richmond and Columbia County was held at the Civic Center since 1977, including all three of us sitting in this room right here. Well, actually, you guys were at Bell Auditorium, weren't you?
No,
we were in 76. You were earlier in 76, weren't you? And Cedric just told me 76, Westside High School. So that was the year before the Civic Center opened. You were at the Bell. The Bell wouldn't hold you. Today, they wouldn't hold Greenbriars. I know Bell Auditorium would be too small for it. So that they routinely fill up the Civic Center for the Columbia County graduations.
But I would like to take my answer without getting specific. I'd like to say indirectly, I hope everyone will benefit.
Yeah. All right. Let's say hello to Bill in Hepzibah, standing by online too. Bill, how are you, sir?
Hey, Austin. How's it going?
Good. What's your question?
Hey, are they gonna keep dirt out of this? Like no horses, no motorcycles, no motocross, all that kind of junk out of it, so it doesn't get nastied up like the current one?
Let me ask that question. And Bill, thank you for calling in. I know something about this because I was on Coliseum Authority for 5 years, and the wear and tear on the facility because of the futurity and the barrel horse racing was significant. Are you planning on having those events back if they want to come back? And if you do, are you going to build special protections into the building that will accommodate the dust in the air that the old building did not have? Because, man alive, did we have problems with it.
Yes. You know, again, a lot of things have changed technology-wise to help us to make sure the air filters and things bring that dust out. But we are planning to have the monster truck races, the futurity, barrel racing. We are still planning to have those things in there. But, again, we're able and we feel confident that it would not have the wear on the and tear that it would normally have because of technology that we have today.
Absolutely. And I can attest to that. We looked at a revamped ventilation system because of the concerns of the dust that got in the rafters and the ventilation system because of the futurity and the barrel horse racing. The motor sports were so infrequent that it wasn't that big a deal. But when you haul that much dirt into the Civic Arena every year, it's going to have a residual effect. And again, it can be fixed with modern ventilation systems. But it was like a $15 million price tag back in the day, and we just couldn't make it work financially. The good news is you're building a new building. It's going to have the state-of-the-art ventilation system as part of the package, right?
Yes.
All right, so there you go. We got Perrin standing by on line three. Perrin, how are you?
Hey, Austin. So I got a couple questions. I'll ask them quick. Are there any discussions about using a future SPLOST issuance for repaying some of the debt back? And the other one's not really a question, but could you guys cover some of the community benefits for the new project, like the apprenticeship program, the local contractors, the minority-owned businesses, that kind of stuff?
All right. Thank you. Go ahead.
We'd be glad to answer that question. The community benefit is going to be huge in the fact that a lot of conventions and different things that will come to Augusta don't come to Augusta now because we just don't have the space. One of the things, and getting to the other part of his question, and Brad, you can pick up where I leave off. One of the things that the authority was most interested in is making sure that there was local and minority participation in this project. To date, we have spent a little bit over $18 million, and we're happy to say 42% of that has gone to local and minority businesses. So, I mean, our goal was 30%, at least 30% local and minority. Right now we're at 42. We intend to at least meet our goal and hopefully exceed it. So that's part of the Coliseum Authority. We voted on that. Anybody that we hire understands what our position is on that. And so we want to ensure the public that we're going to try to make that happen to the best of our ability.
And we're really proud of that. I mean, 30% was our goal, and we got to 42%. That's something Cedric and I are really hanging our hat on. But another thing I'd like to tell Perrin is we've got $2 million in this budget for public art to be around the building. to show homage to James Brown's his legend. And so anyway, so we've got that.
And it's going to be a custom decorated building with a lot of locally produced art.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. And again, a show place, we're hoping for some James Brown memorabilia that will take what the airport has done and notch it up about, you know, 5 or 10 times. I mean, it's really, really cool what you're able to see when you walk through the Augusta Airport or through the Augusta Museum. But this show place can really be something. And by the way, we've heard Carlos Santana on the show talking about how much of a kick he was getting out of going to play the James Brown Arena. And that meant something to him. He says, you know, when you see that on the schedule, it pops out at you, and we really love that.
Well, and another thing that we probably won't have time to get into today, but I hope people will go to our website, the new arena, newjamesbrownarena.com, and look at the amenities this building has. I mean, the experience you'll have when you go to a show here, you may not even go to your seat. I mean, you'll be actually walk the concourse and be able to see the show without going to your seat. You'll be able to go to a bar and sit and watch the show. And that's the kind of amenities this thing's going to bring. We're going to have 3 levels of premium seats.
Fantastic. By the way, I am going to hook that video into the Austin Roadshow page on Facebook shortly. I wanted to go ahead and tell you that if you have not seen it, you need to, because it's an incredible piece of work. And congratulations to the authority for putting that up there. That's great. I'll link that in just a few minutes. Let's say hello to Doug. Actually, David is first, then we'll get to Doug. David, you are on the air with Cedric Johnson and Brad Ushery. Go ahead.
My biggest concern about the new arena is the seating capacity. You know, with Columbia County continuing with its growth in population, you know, we talked about this arena having serviced this community for over 40 years. Where are we going to be in 10 or 20 years from now when the population growth has expanded? And then also, what can Spectrum guarantee us that we're not going to continue to miss the big acts going to Columbia and Atlanta because of our lack of seating capacity?
All right, good questions. And Brad, go ahead.
Well, the first thing I'd like to say, that the seating capacity is advertised for the current JBA at like 7,800. It's actually around 6,000 for an in-stage show.
Right.
So this arena will be actually 10,500 for in-stage. So we're talking about an 80% increase in seating capacity?
Almost double. Yeah.
And we had 2 feasibility studies done, and both studies said our sweet spot was 10,000 seats. And you have to know that every seat over 10,000 we build is about $20,000. So another 1,000 seat is $20 million. So you have to find that sweet spot. You can't overbuild. I mean, you don't build a church for Easter Sunday.
Right. No doubt. And it's a good question. What is Spectrum, the entertainment management company that works with the James Brown Arena and the Bell Auditorium, what are they telling you as to who they can book in and the kind of acts that you can expect to get? I know that they don't make any promises, but they give you estimations, guesstimations.
Well, you know, we're called a mid-sized market, so the acts that would normally go to mid-sized now, and we're mid-sized with really nice facilities, we should get all of those acts. And again, we will get some of the larger acts like we've done in the past, like a Santana, like a Miss Underwood. So those are the type of shows that we are looking at that we should be able to receive and they not be turned away because we don't have the rigging or the size.
All right.
Yep. Geographically, Augusta lines up well for routing, too. So,
there you go. All right. And I was going to say you're right on the interstate going between Atlanta and Columbia and or north and south from Jacksonville or all of Florida up north. And I've been told a million times that in the way that concerts are going these days, the way that fans respond, if you've got a good act, they'll drive and they'll show up multiple places. In other words, if they're playing, if you got a good act playing Atlanta and Columbia and Augusta, there are going to be some people that go to all 3. I guarantee you, if my favorite band were playing in multiple spots locally that I could drive to easily, I would make that sacrifice. That's just the way I feel about the music that I love. Let's get Doug in real quick. Doug, you're on the air with Cedric and Brad. Go ahead, Doug.
Thank you, Austin. This is Doug Lively. I had the pleasure of serving with Cedric out on the Aviation Commission, and, you know, his name being attached gives credence. But my question is, first, I think it's a great idea, and I think it continues to help grow downtown Augusta. I like having a bigger and nicer arena because as a baby boomer, a lot of the acts that are coming in are groups that I remember.
Brad and Cedric, thank you guys for coming out. I will put the video on the Austin Road Show page on Facebook.
Thanks for listening to the Rhodes Rewind of the Austin Road Show. Listen to Austin weekdays from 3 till 6 on Augusta's News Talk and Information Station, WGAC, at 95.1 FM, 101.9 FM, and AM 580. Stream it live on WGAC.com or on the WGAC mobile app. Thanks for listening to the Rhodes Rewind of the Austin Road Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.